So go ahead, eat, drink, dress well, smell good, and enjoy the one you married through these things all the days of your vain life, which God has given you under the sun for all your vain, futile, meaningless days. This is your lot, your fate in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the grave where you are heading, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom. In this ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet seems almost in a mad dash to consign everyone and everything to death. He says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. It would seem that a fatalistic determinism is upon all, like a net taking an unsuspecting fish. Young men, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before old age comes and you can't see and your hearing loss is quite measurable, this is when the evil days of old age come, when you will be scared of heights, when your legs tremble and your hands shake, when you cannot sing as you used to do, when your teeth come out, and when you will be afraid of dangers, real or imagined, when your hair turns gray, and you don't even have sexual drive anymore. Pretty girls don't matter anymore. Oh my, don't let that day, well. Then finally, the cord binding you to life is snapped. Your head, lungs, and heart stop functioning. And your body is broken by death, and people mourn your passing as women wail and keen in certain African countries today. That is your destiny, young man, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. That is why everything is meaningless. Do your duty, fear God, keep His commandments, for He will bring all things to judgment. Here today, gone tomorrow. Now, I don't have a long presenter's position. I'll develop it later. The presenter's position, forever blowing bubbles. But why, Professor, do you call this life under the sun, experimenting life, forever blowing bubbles? Let's return to the Hebrew word habel, which occurs some 38 times in this little missive. Habel can mean vanity, meaninglessness, futility, vapor, absurd, mist, bubbles. According to Kohelet, everything done under the sun is a repetitious, aimless, hopeless sameness, a venture into nothingness. Man is always monotonously doing the same things, eating, drinking, working, sleeping, earning money, spending money, breathing, gathering riches, for only to lose their being born, having fun in your youth, growing old, becoming gray-headed, dying, going where the beasts go, and being forgotten by those who come after him. That is So it is with each generation, forever blowing bubbles. Even when one says there is a time for everything and a season, for every activity under heaven, according to Kohelet, he is saying that fate and determinism are the masses and humans are the slaves. You can't do anything about it. For there is a time to be born, there's a time to die, a time to plant, uproot, chill, heal, tear down, build up, you name it, there's a time for it, and there is nothing you can do to alter this already set in motion proposition. Now, after all, answer this reasonable question. What does the worker gain from his toil? Chapter 3, verse 9. Kohelet said, I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. If there is joy, there will also be sorrow. Joy is fleeting, as are riches, pleasure, position, fame, all bubble-blowing experiences. We have no idea what possessed John Kinbrovin and John William Kellett in 1919 to write the words and music to the tune that inspired this presenter to think of the words and experiment of Koheleth as forever blowing bubbles. The words are, I'm dreaming dreams, I'm scheming schemes, I'm building castles high. They are born anew, their days are few, just like a sweet butterfly. And as the daylight is dawning, they come again in the morning. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. When shadows creep, when I'm asleep, to lands of hope I stray. Then at daybreak, when I awake, my bluebirds flutter away. Happiness, you seem so near me. Happiness, come forth and cheer me. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then, like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune's always hiding. I've looked everywhere. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. So all vanity and a struggle to catch wind. If one can chase the wind and catch it, then one can chase and catch pretty bubbles of pleasure and riches and great adventure. After diligent research and much study, which sometimes wearied me, I've come to a conservative position that King Solomon blew many pretty bubbles, as described in 1 Kings 4, 9, 10. With all his gold and ivory throne and gold drinking vessels, 40,000 horses and kingly wealth and God-given wisdom, and his harem of multiplied wives and concubines, this wisest of men experienced all this splendor and experimented with all that is described in Ecclesiastes. When he was old, his wives turned away his heart from God. If Solomon wrote this book, it was not during a time when he, quote, wandered away from God, as McGee believes. Now, toward the end of his life, Solomon saw that indeed everything he did had been futile, pointless, absurd, meaningless. He was always in search of answers, but the cynical, embittered old king concluded that there was nothing for man to do in the few vain days of his life but to enjoy his toil and eat and drink, for everything is just a bubble-blowing experience. So we are predetermined to blow bubbles, to sow the seeds of division and failure. Solomon's conception of God in Ecclesiastes was colored by the distance he had allowed to come between him and God, and the God he loved in the younger days of his kingship. The writer is correct in his assertion that everything and all the achievements of man are heba, meaningless, bubble-blowing. He became a fatalist, almost like a believer in determinism. For the human race in general, he was right on the money. Every life without the true God is a life wherein one is forever blowing bubbles. Koheleth teaches a valuable lesson, which we have tried to establish in this presentation. There is no hope if one follows what was done under the sun by Solomon and all who tread his path. For those willing and ready, God has another surer way. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman and made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus Christ came so that all who followed him might have life and have it more abundantly. Solomon, Koheleth, or whoever set down this work could not find an end to the meaninglessness of life. So he spent his life in searching, seeking, bubble-blowing, never finding any solution but to fear God and keep his commandments. That's man's duty. For the writer, there was no hope beyond death, no certain success, no victory in the end. For those willing to go by faith beyond Koheleth, this present world and the hebel of blowing bubbles, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Those willing to go on by faith will have abundant life here and everlasting life beyond the grave. For Christ has conquered death, brought an end to futility and vanity, and has given all who will believe real, eternal life that puts a definite end to the proposition, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. This life is real. This life is everlasting. This life finds the ultimate answer in these words: Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, as I would say in class, questions?